I don't think that I have anything that's earth-shattering for you today, but I can tell you this. What we are going to talk about is very important to the growth of the Christian in a very simple but yet complex and dedicated way. So I hope that that's what you take away today, that you understand what we are to offer the Lord individually, each and every day. And is that not the hard part? Every day. Let's pray before I get started here. Father, we thank you for your word, for the lamp that it provides us as we walk through this world on a daily basis. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, which gives us the guidance and the wisdom that we need to understand it and to be able to, as we're going to talk about today, apply it to our lives so that when others see us, they do see who you are and much less of who we are in our human nature. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to be reading and looking at Romans chapter 12, if you have your Bible and you want to turn to that. The first couple of verses, and I'll go ahead and read that for you. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this: Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Well, it's January 1st, so do you feel new? Do you feel better? All the past is gone. It's all behind you. And since it's January 1, everything's good now, right? Wouldn't that be nice if that's the way it worked? But it doesn't work that way. If you could change some things about yourself, what would you change? Would you change your eye color, maybe your hair, your nose? Maybe you don't like that. Your teeth, your legs, your feet, and the list goes on, really, if we want to stop and think about it. We could complain about the way we look in many, many ways. If you could make a wish and change your outward appearance, would you have a light touch, or would you have an extreme makeover? We all go through periods where we're not satisfied with our outward appearance. In this country, you know, our teenagers are constantly bombarded and concerned with things that are the most up-to-date look and fashion, and that their appearance is with current culture. I frankly really don't care. And I my wife knows, I've said that for years, I'm going to make my hair the way I want, and I'm going to dress the way I want. I really don't care what anybody else thinks. So, my hair looked just like this 30-some years ago, only it was longer. But we have fashion and appearance. So, let me take you back. When I was in junior high school, I was handed down, I don't know if everybody in here understands what that means, but anybody else in here get hand-me-downs? Yeah, so I was handed down from my older brother, 2 years older than me, a pair of corduroys. Now, these corduroys were not ordinary corduroys. They were corduroys that had the real wide gaps, not the thin ones. And the best thing about these corduroys was, A, they were bell-bottoms, B, they were hip-huggers, which means you had no belt, and they snapped in the front, and there were no pockets except right here in the front. And so they were real dark purple with real dark purple with a highlighted little pocket right here. And I can tell you, I did wear those to school. I did wear those to school. And people loved them. That's the disturbing part. But as we grow older, we get smarter, or do we? You know, we still spend an extraordinary amount of time attempting to choose the right pair of slacks, shoes, etc. When you're my age, you try to diet, work out, and, you know, I get to the point where it's just easier to cover it up. As hard as it is to change on the outside, it seems even more difficult to change on the inside. If there's anything we know about human nature, it is that people change slowly and sometimes not at all. Think about your own struggles in life. What would you change about yourself on the inside if you could? Would it be the fact that you have an impatient spirit? Would it be that your tongue is a little too critical at times? Would it be a spirit of being discontent? Maybe you have resentment that's just been hanging on for a long period of time and you won't let it go. Maybe you mismanage your finances and you feel like I should be better at that because I've struggled with it. You have a guilty conscience. Do you have difficulty working with others? Are you too overbearing at times? Do you have a quick temper, a judgmental spirit? Is your spirit ungrateful? Is your life disorganized? Do you have a hard time saying no to people at times? I could keep going, really, right? I'm sure that I've hit on some things that have made you at least think about, yeah, that one's me. Many times we want something to change, but we just don't know how to go about doing it. We long for something different, better than what we are. Again, all you have to do is watch TV, read the paper. Advertisers bombard us with instant fixes. At least that's the way they appear, right? I used to work in a sporting goods store in Florida, and I remember one section of our sporting goods store had a lot of treadmills, and they also had the ab crunchers. Do you remember those? And I absolutely enjoyed having some conversation with people about those, because they would walk up, literally walk up, look, they were on the floor, lined up, probably 8 or 10 of them, and they would look at that thing sitting on the floor, and then look at the box. And as they look at the box, they see the person on the box, and they're thinking about themselves, and they're thinking about the ab cruncher. And they would say to me, does that really work? And that's kind of what I wanted to do. I couldn't do that, but you just kind of want to chuckle. It's about a whole lot more than that. It's not just about that thing on the floor and who's ever on the box and who you are. You know, it takes a ton of work. And, you know, you have to eat right and all the other stuff. But when it's sitting there, people walk up. I kid you not. They value that as an instant fix. That's not the way life works most of the time. So change is hard, isn't it? It's very difficult at times. You go into a bookstore, you can see self-help everywhere. Sometimes people are so filled with discontent that it affects their behavior in odd ways. You know, we get up in the morning, we look in the mirror, and we see the same old person staring back at us. And sometimes, people don't like what they see. I'm sort of a sports junkie. I watched a story about a gentleman, his name was Chris Herron. Chris Herron was an incredible high school basketball player up in the New England area. Chris Herron played at Boston College, and he got involved with drugs and gambling, etc., that really sent his life in a tailspin. He was questioned by his wife one morning when she discovered that his toothbrush and his shaving cream and his shaving razor were always in the shower. She started to notice a pattern. It was always in the shower. So after a while of this going on, she found it. She questioned about it. Chris, why is all of that stuff in the shower? I think you know now, don't you? Maybe based on what I just said. He didn't like looking in the mirror. He didn't like himself at all. And when I tell you that he was talented, he was unbelievable with a basketball in his hands, and he made everybody else around him better. And here's a guy who couldn't look in the mirror because he didn't like what he saw. And really what he saw was what was on the inside, which to him was extremely ugly. Sometimes we have to take that inner walk, though. In feeling discontent, many people change jobs, find a new boyfriend, girlfriend, start a new career, buy a new car, get a new outfit. These things in and of themselves are not wrong. It's just that our motives for wanting or desiring them may not be acceptable, even though we think that they are. Again, Romans 12:2 says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." Having Bible knowledge is certainly important, but what we do with that knowledge is even more important. I want to say that again. Having Bible knowledge is certainly important. You know, we have to know what God's word says in here. But it is even more important that we know what to do with it. Knowledge itself is useless unless we find ways to apply that knowledge with proper functionality. It is in that place that we find change can occur from within and we can have a mind that has been transformed. Knowledge alone does not save us, and alone it certainly will not change us. We have to be willing to put in what is called, very simply, hard work. We have to be willing to put the hard work in. So how do we get there? Well, first of all, you're rarely going to experience growth without struggle. Think about the things that you've been able to accomplish with God by your side in your life. I would guess that most of them, if not all of them, have not been easy, and that after you're done, you appreciate the struggle because now you're somewhere and you gain knowledge that you didn't have before. Here's your football story. And I've used this one before, but I use it because, you know, this young man was a tremendous person, but his name was Ian Connor. When I coached high school football in Florida, Ian was probably about 5'11 and 240, 245. And he was like a rock. I kid you not. He would get upset because I had to grade films. And if you did your responsibility on a play, you got a plus. If you didn't, you got a minus. It was that simple. And then you got a grade. All right? And we posted the grades on the wall. And, you know, I never forget, Ian came to me and he said, "Coach, I got 53%. I play better than that." And my answer to him was, "Forget about the number. Here's what you did well. Here's what you need to get better at. And even more importantly, here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to demonstrate this for you, see?" Ian had a bad habit of going like this. You know, if we're going to run the ball to my right, he had a bad habit of going like this. He would cross over with his leg. Or if we're going left, he would cross over with his leg. And he didn't believe me initially when I told him what the solution was for that. And that if you do this solution, you're going to have a lot of fun running over people. Playing football. Sorry, that's just the way it is. And you're going to be able to get your job done efficiently. So I came up with some drills, and I helped him to learn this. Very simply, if you're going left, you've got to step with your left foot. You know, so we came up with some very simple things that allowed him to get that accomplished. And over time, you know, all of that moaning and complaining and griping passed, and it was gone because he had gained new knowledge that he was able to apply on a daily basis at practice. And so he got better. It was my job to reveal Ian's weaknesses and give him strategies that would align him with success. So what's the point? The point is this. Ian received advice from his coach, that was me, and applied it, experiencing success that brought about a renewing of his mind and internal transformation. He had phenomenal self-confidence after repetition, 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 repetition. And it's not fun to hear the same thing all the time, every day, unless you get some sort of a taste of success that's positive. And he got that. So repeating it over time allowed him to improve his habits and have a greater frequency of success because of internal growth. He was not 100% perfect. He never played a game where he got 100% from me. But that's not really the point. Because he, along with you and I, none of us are perfect. The point is to increase the frequency of success. And that's why we have to stay in this. As believers, sometimes, you know, and I'm guilty of this, we walk around thinking that we can handle everything without going to the manual. That's tough to do. Because I got news for you. You don't have all the answers. And neither do I. Sometimes I think I do. As I'm sure you do. But we don't. So how do we get there? How do we get to that point where, you know, we can renew our minds and think differently? Well, in Romans 12:2, the Greek word for transform is similar to the word metamorphosis, such as the change that a caterpillar experiences when becoming a butterfly, or that a tadpole experiences when becoming a frog. Essentially, a gradual change on the inside produces a total transformation on the outside. Metamorphosis reveals what genetically was there all along. The caterpillar does not change its basic nature. The caterpillar couldn't fly, but at the same time, it was born to fly. Metamorphosis displays that for us. Think about this. Pretend you knew nothing about caterpillars at all, or even metamorphosis. You see some of them on the ground, and somebody says, one day those caterpillars are going to fly. You might laugh, right? Because remember, you know nothing. You might laugh. Because that seems ridiculously impossible. And maybe that's because we're so focused at times with things on our eyes. Maybe too much. But anyway, the change comes from within because it's possible. To change inside, our minds must be reprogrammed. It's imperative that we understand that an internal change must not be based purely on emotions. Feeling the presence of God is important and matters, but emotions will not renew our mind. They're too varied, unpredictable, and difficult to trust on a consistent basis. We went to dinner the other night. Went to Olive Garden. So we're all talking about what to order, and Jen says, I'm getting shrimp scampi, and Judy says, I'm getting shrimp scampi, and I had my mind set on shrimp scampi, and then when the server came, I got ravioli. And my daughter's sitting across from me, and she looks at me, she goes, you know. I said, well, the ravioli sounded better at this point. But isn't that the way we are? Yeah. We do, yeah. Thanks, Ariella. We do. We change our minds on a whim at times. And so in order for us to be reprogrammed, we cannot base that on emotions. So how do we get the renewed mind that Paul talks about here in verse 2 in Romans chapter 12? To me, the answer is very simple. But it requires a lifetime of work. And that's exactly it. It does require a lifetime of work. Desire and discipline can equal change. What's desire? The want to do it. The will, the hunger, the longing. Not giving up, not quitting. What's the discipline? The hard part, actually doing it. And to me, I like to say it this way, and no pun intended. Discipline is doing the right thing even when you don't feel like it. Even when you don't feel like it, because you're not going to feel like opening this some days. Too bad, right? I'm saying that for me as much as I am for you. it's important to open it anyway because it has great food for us. That's the discipline part, and that's not easy, especially nowadays because we are so distracted. But we have to shut those things out for whatever moment we're in with this and focus. And the older I get, the harder that becomes. It's very difficult to do in our culture. It is not impossible, but it is difficult, and it takes focus. Habits of holiness take both desire and discipline in order to reap the complete benefit of a renewed mind. And with that renewed mind will come greater wisdom. You must be open to learning how to add to your strength and manage your weaknesses as they are revealed to you by the Holy Spirit in your struggles. That's an extremely important part of this. Because you remember in verse 1, it said about your spiritual act of worship. Remember I read that? Okay, this isn't on your own. You must summon and be led by the Holy Spirit. This will produce spiritual growth that is of great help in navigating the many uncharted waterways of this life. Because if you haven't had any difficulty yet, it's coming. We all experience it. And the best way to get through that is to believe and trust in what the Word says. Transformation of the mind takes time and sincere desire, effort, not perfection. Oftentimes when we have not been transformed to the inside, it's simply because we have not applied these principles. I'm going to read that again. Oftentimes when we have not been transformed on the inside, it's simply because we've not applied these principles. I cannot tell you and emphasize enough. If you don't remember anything, I say this to my students at school. If you don't remember anything else I say, remember this. It's hard work. It really is difficult, arduous, tedious, hard work. But you know what? That's what we're called to do. We're supposed to be different. And you hear me pray all the time. I don't say that by accident. You know, that when somebody runs into us and they see us, they see less of me and more of him. That's the goal. That's why we study. We often are our own worst enemies. I mean, face it, we are at times. We're our own worst enemies. Ah, I'm not going to study now. I'm gonna watch a football game. That's one of mine. I'll admit it. But we can fill in the blank, can't we? With just about anything. As opposed to saying, let me take 10 or 15 minutes, and then I'll watch whatever, or I'll go do this and that. They are intense work when done with authenticity. And as a believer, you do not get off easy. There will be struggle and frustration that requires you to stay the course. However, you must continue to read, study, pray, and apply. It's equally important to surround yourself with solid friends that are believers. Surround yourself with friends that are solid believers. Why? Because you will become like your friends, and your friends will become like you. The right friends will make it easier for you to grow in the Lord, while the wrong friends may impede your progress. Romans 12:2 teaches us about spiritual metamorphosis. In seeking Him, along with the counsel of the Holy Spirit, God intends that we will slowly but surely be transformed into the image of Christ. It will not happen by accident. It's not going to happen overnight. You have to have intentionality. You have to start holy habits. If you don't read on a daily basis, take 10 minutes. I encourage you to do so. It will not happen overnight. It takes time. It cannot happen without the Holy Spirit because we don't have enough knowledge within ourselves to solve everything that we are encountered by on a daily basis. You must be led by the Spirit. It can't happen without personal commitment. It takes deep desire and discipline. Very deep desire and discipline. It doesn't happen repeatedly hanging out with non-believers. It'll happen by receiving encouragement from those who believe in Christ as Lord and Savior. I'll finish with this. In 1501, Michelangelo was 26 years old. And he was offered a large sum to produce something from a large block of marble that was called the Giant. There were other artists who had looked at that block of marble, and they saw too many flaws in it and were not willing to tackle it. So Michelangelo was offered the responsibility of doing so. He did observe a major flaw at the bottom that had bothered other sculptors. So in his mind, he decided to make that a tree stump, and it would support the leg of the figure. So he worked for a number of years, and he produced what is world-renowned and known as the incomparable Statue of David. Today, it's 17 feet tall, and it's on display in Florence, Italy, where many from around the world go and observe this incredible statue. When he was asked about it, Michelangelo stated, "In every block of marble, I see a statue, as plain as though it stood before me, shaped and perfect in attitude and action. I have only to hew away the rough walls that imprison the lovely apparition to reveal it to other eyes as mine have seen it." In other words, he saw it right here while it was sitting there. And he had the gift and talent to make that come to life, if you will. We're all works in progress. We're kind of like that block of marble. We need to let our sculptor chip away at us. Not so much on the outside, but where it matters most, which is on the inside. Because when we fix and summon the Lord to get us through the struggles that we let sometimes and permit torment us from the inside, the outside will take care of itself. It will take care of itself. So construction's ongoing. Sometimes it's nerve-wracking. And face it, it's not fun to have your weaknesses exposed. Whether it's one-on-one with a friend or if there's more people around. Because that displays our vulnerability. But I'm telling you, that's okay. Because it's right in those moments where you've become the most teachable when it's time to learn. And that sort of goes back to, who do we surround ourselves with? It's very important that we give people permission to speak into our lives. But it needs to be the right people. Because, and that starts right here. This has to be the first person.